Or one guy asked me, "How's it going?" I said, "Great." Looked at me, and he says, I said, "I never have a bad day." And he goes, "Never?" I said, "Never." I said, "I don't say I don't have problems within my day, but there's not enough bad things in my day to add up to ruin the whole day." And he went, "Okay." It kind of like a different, you know, perspective. And it's just a matter of how you see things. You know, you can see things through discouragement or doubt, you know, disbelief and hurt and everything else. But when you know God's on your side, you know, it doesn't mean that you don't negate the problems. I think that's where people get in trouble. Negate the problems and don't take care of it and get themselves in a lot of trouble. Because there's three things. There's faith, foolishness, and presumption. And every one of us have gone through that area. And we were talking to a gal and her son.
Jehovah, the existing one. But he's also got other things attached to Jehovah because God has many sides to him.
I just want to make sure. So what happened is, she was telling us, and the teaching that he received was that you can just speak to the mountain and it will be removed. Well, God puts Romans 13 in there for a reason. If you break the law, you must have consequences. So if you speed in your car and you get a ticket, I don't care how many mountains you speak to, everybody knows if you don't show up, you could have a warrant.
Yeah.
And so she explained to him the difference between faith, foolishness, and presumption.
Right.
And he still said, "No, I'm not a doubter," kind of thing. "I'm believing God." And she said, "That's great. You're going to believe God." And she just left it alone and prayed. And he came back and said, "You know, Mom, I'm going to go to the court." She said, "That's a good decision. Let's go to court." So I don't know what's taking place. I don't even know if they've gone to court yet. Have they gone to court yet, babe? I don't think so. But they're going to go to court. How many knows that's a good thing? And then God can move. And sometimes he's merciful and, you know, you can go to driving class and you don't have that on your ticket. Sometimes you have to pay the ticket. You know, sin costs you. No matter what you do, it'll take you, keep you longer than you want to stay, cost you more than you want to give, and you know, it'll hold you longer than you want to be held, because the Bible says that if you're anyone who sins is a slave to sin, and slavery is not a fun way to go. And so we're gonna learn some things tonight, and we'll be in Hebrews chapter 11. We're gonna go a different side of the mountain with this. It is a faith chapter, and we are faith people, but we're going to go a different side. I think you're going to see a different side of this. God loves you. God has a plan for you. Let's get right into this, okay, tonight. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. This has been known as the chapter of faith, but we're going to come out this thing, and if you just trust me a little bit, I'm not going to teach any false doctrine, but would you just trust me enough to kind of look at this word, because we're going to go on a different side of the mountain on this thing, and we're going to touch a little bit on faith, but there's something else in here that God wants you to see. Let's go to verse number 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Now, the firm persuasion, the firm conviction, simply what you believe, is the substance of things of a confident expectation. And it's the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith, by a persuasion, by a firm persuasion, by a conviction, based upon what they heard, simply what they believed, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified of his gifts, and through it, him being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, without a conviction, a persuasion, a firm conviction, simply what you believe, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarder to those who diligently seek him. Notice that the word without faith is impossible. Notice that it says God, for he who comes to God must believe. Believe and faith are the same thing. You have more believing in you than you believe. All right, here we go. You have more faith in you than what you know. It's just simply believing what you believe about God. Now here's what it says. And he that is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The word diligently there means a steady application to business. Next verse. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in a land of promise in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for a city which has foundations, which builder and maker is God. By faith, by believing, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died in faith, believing, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embracing them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country in which they had come out, they would have the opportunity to return. Verse 16, by now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom he said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, had mentioned of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he destroy the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempted to do so were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, also David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourging, yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth, And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. I want to talk about hope. I want to talk about a confident expectation in God. I want to talk about, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, a confident expectation. Now, these are Hebrew Jews that are born again. And coming out, they were under Nero. And Nero had killed Paul and Peter. And it was getting pretty tough for the Jews to follow Jesus. And some of them wanted to turn away. And Paul is encouraging them. And he takes them from creation. He takes them from the beginning of the fall. He takes them from the flood, after the flood to the patriarchs, from the patriarchs to the priests and the kings and the prophets. He takes them all the way through there. He takes them to the judges. He takes them all the way through to show them something about hope. And I want us to see this, because a lot of times we read these verses and we think that these people that in this hall of faith are great people, and everybody look at me. They're not great people. They're very fallible people. They are jacked up, messed up, sinful people that just didn't sin one time, but many times, and some of them did some horrible, horrible sins. What I mean by that is the repercussions never left their lives. Some of the repercussions only lasted for a little bit. Others, till the day they died, and carried on into their family. So what I want to share with you is this. Sometimes we get into church and we hear great messages about faith, but we forget that these we're just normal people like them, working out our salvation, and God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But sometimes we get into a spot because we've been sinful and we think God's through with us. And we say, I don't feel God anymore. God is not a feeling. I love sometimes when God comes on me and things change. But I don't have a feeling. I'm not hooked on a feeling. But I'm still believing that He's in love with me. Okay, but here's the deal. Sometimes we get into a touchy-feely, and the devil can get into touchy-feely. And we open up, listen to me, for familiar spirits. He comes as an angel of light. He can answer your prayers that not necessarily are prayers God wants answered. Because I've seen women and men call and ask God for a mate and get an unsaved person in their life, and God doesn't do that. And they think it's God. Because I feel good. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. When I pray like I should. Do-do-do-do. Because I prayed in faith. Well, let me tell you something. You can pray in faith and open up for the wrong thing because you're not walking in faith of the hope of the confidence of who God is. And so sometimes we just take things in like a bird that opens up their mouth. We just take whatever comes down the pike. And I'm going to teach you some stuff that the Word of Faith, I came out of the Word of Faith Bible College teaching that is wrong. And I'm going to share with you that is wrong through the Word of God. And you're going to be okay, because we need to get rid of some doctrine that's not right. Because if you don't, there's people living under condemnation because they prayed and they were in doubt, and then they prayed again and again, and they were in doubt and doubt, and then they got all messed up in their mind. Oh, I'm in doubt. I'm no good and all this. Hang on a second. I'm going to show you something about doubt. I'm going to show you some people who prayed in doubt and God ended up using them in the end after some things took place. Now, listen to me. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But it doesn't mean you need to get a whole ton of Word just to get faith. Because some people can hear just a little bit, and bang, they got it. Other people need to hear it over and over and over, and they're not honest. They're not honest to say, I don't get this. But they fake it till they make it. How many's heard that before? God doesn't want you to fake it to make it. Unless you confess your weaknesses, you can never be strong again. But that's another false teaching of the Word of Faith. We're going to fake it till we make it. You never can find Jesus say, fake it till you make it. Never. Never. You don't fake it. Because God doesn't want you to be a hypocrite. And that's what you're being, a hypocrite. Even though I've heard people say, continually say it, say it, say it. It's not in the saying, folks. It's in the believing. You believe with your heart, confess with your mouth, Jesus Lord. You don't just keep saying, well, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. One day I'm going to feel I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. I said it 554.75 times, I'm saved. It doesn't work like that. Does everybody understand that? But we've been taught that it is, and that's called works. There's a difference between saying the word because it's in your heart and out of your mouth is the word that we speak or we preach. It's in our heart first, and then we speak it. Folks, if you don't have it in your heart and you tell the truth, say, hey, I'm not there with faith. Do you know that's faith? You're saying, I don't know about God in that area. And God says, that's okay. Now I can show you. But if you keep faking it, how am I going to show you? Because you're not going to get an opportunity to be teachable for him to show you so you can get rid of that false doctrine. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. So now, let me show you something. Look at verse number one. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, by faith, look at this. Look at this. By faith, verse three. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen were not made of the things which are visible. God took his word and made wood. He made the atmosphere. He made the earth. He made everything. There was nothing. He made it. Okay? That's what happened here. Now watch this. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice to Cain. Abel believed what God had said when Abel was working in the earth. He brought his offering to God on what God told him to do, and his offering was accepted. He's trying to get the people back to day one, and remember, it's all about God. God is the power source. We do what God says, and we're blessed that we do what God says. But when you do what God says, you can lose your life. And we're not taught that. Your faith can get you killed. It did with Abel, and his blood speaks louder. Even Jesus said, Abel's blood is one of the martyrs, and his blood speaks to this day. He's the first martyr that died for his faith, and his blood still speaks to this day. Your faith can get you killed. So why don't, now watch this, we're not taught that. Because nobody goes around saying, by faith, I'm going to be martyred. By faith, I'm going to be martyred. By faith, I'm going to be martyred. They don't say that. Right? But your faith can get you killed. And he got killed by his own brother. And you know what? This has happened before. Between family members have killed others in anger. Dropped them dead. And killed them. Let me show you this now. So when your faith, and you're living by faith, and you're trusting God and believing God, and you do what God tells you to do, you could lose your life. It happened to Abel, first martyr. Next thing, Enoch. Enoch pleased God. This is a sign of the resurrection. He pleased God and he was no more. Boom, he was taken. Remember, I'm getting a little ahead of myself now, but it's impossible to please God without faith. You must believe that he's a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. So God is going to take us just like he took Enoch. Poof. Is going to be gone. Now, look at the next thing here. These two. Then he says here, verse number 7. By faith, Noah. Now, Noah was not, listen to me, he was not what you call a successful preacher. He preached the word, but only 8 of them got saved. Noah was one, there's 7 of his family in Noah. But can I tell you something what Noah was? Noah liked to tip the old juice. Noah got drunk. Noah got a vineyard. Do you remember that? And then he ended up getting juiced, and he even cursed one of his sons, and it went into that. Remember that? So Noah isn't perfect, is he? No. But there's hope. There's hope. He sinned right after he seen God say, hey, build an ark. I'm going to come and destroy with a flood. You preach to everybody. Don't worry about it. I'm going to take you on to another place. Everything's going to be fine. He sees all this happen. As soon as he gets off, he heads for the wine. Do you think Noah drank? I think Noah drank. I don't think that Noah didn't drink before he got on the ark. I don't, maybe not wasn't a drunk, but I think he liked to drink the wine. Because no one wakes up one day and murders somebody. Okay? I think he did drink. I think this time he got into excess. He sinned and he got drunk. He was laying naked. Kids came in and seen it. And then he got upset and he cursed one of the kids. Everybody remember that? So in his anger, because of his sin, and he was exposed, and then he cursed. So guess what can happen to you? In your sin, when you sin, somebody else, you can be exposed. And then when they expose you, you could curse them. That's happened before. People do that. Now watch this though. But look what he says here. Being divinely warned of the things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. He had godly fear. This man was moved by godly fear. Not yet moved by godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith, because he repented and moved on. Don't let your sin and your past stop you from going forward. God sees the end result. These people are here to help us to have hope that if we fall, God can still use us. I'm not giving you a license to sin. As a matter of fact, you don't need a license to sin. We're going to sin. The Bible says he who says he's without sin's a liar. But we don't go to sinning and then ask God to forgive us. That's just crazy. Now look at this now. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance. When Abraham was supposed to leave immediately, and he did not leave, he took his father to Haran. Do you remember that? He was disobedient, but God said he was obedient. Abraham, not only that, he did some things that weren't too good. He turned his wife over to a man, not once, but twice. And he lied. Yeah, he had a half-truth, a half-sister and a half-lie. But you bless his holy name, his reputation, his fame, his glory. How do you do this? With your mind, your will, and emotion, you have to think about this. When you're in the presence of God, you have to... He didn't take the sin and attach it to him like we see nowadays. Because we're not old sinners saved by grace. We're new creations in Christ Jesus. Yes, we may have sinned, but we have hope in the Savior, his name is Jesus, who shall save his people from their sins. Not a sin, sins. So if you say the S-H-I-T word, he came to save his people from the S-H-I-T sin. And if you get angry, he came to save his people from their angry sins. And if they lie, he came to change them from their angry lies. And if they are doing other sins, he came to save them from their sins. He's Jesus. He gives us a hope. Now, let's go on and take a look at something else. Let's take a look at Sarah. Sarah laughed. Look at what it says here. By faith, Sarah herself had strength to conceive the seed, and she bore a child when she was past age because she judged him who was faithful who had promised. When I read it, it said when she found out, she laughed. That don't sound like she found God faithful who promised. They named him Laughter. Right? Isaac, Laughter. So she wasn't right away just believing God off the get-go, was she? But something changed in her. Because sometimes faith is a process. But we want it to go, wham, hit me now, Jesus, come on. And sometimes it does. Thank God for that. But you're working out your faith. You're working out your salvation with fear and trembling. And after she started laughing and the angel said, hey, you were laughing. She goes, no, I wasn't. She lied. Did she not lie? But wait, I just read right here. Look what it says. It says she was going to have a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. But she laughed. And they said, you laughed. She goes, no, I didn't. He says, yes, you did. And by this time next year, you're going to have a son. Right? Now, look at this. Therefore, from one man, as him as good as dead, meaning Abraham, he was dead, good as dead, his seed kidnapped. He says, we're born as many as the stars of the sky, innumerable, immeasurable, as the sand which is in the seashore. This was said before he even went down to Egypt and gave his wife up twice. Because what God says, God will do if he can find someone who will repent. They may sin, but repent. Just because your sin did not stop the plan of God, well, it did stop, is this. It stopped the original blessing. Let's go back to the garden. When they sinned, were they allowed to go back into the garden? They gave up the best. Did they not? And they were never allowed to come in, and the angels were there. Remember that? With swords. Remember that? So don't let sin deceive you. You give up God's best when you sin. And some things you can never get back. They can never get back the Garden of Eden. Never get it back. Never, never, never. And some things you can never get back when you sin. But you can repent and move on because they had other children, did they not? Right? Enoch came from them. So things start changing. Now, look at this. That's not to beat you up. It's to share with you Galatians 6:7. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man soweth, he shall reap. There are consequences. Here's what's happening in the body of Christ. I'll tell you what's going on right now. It's devil doctrine. That you can do whatever you want. Don't worry. God loves you. He'll restore you. He'll make things right. He's a good God. Can I ask you a question? Did Samson get the very best? Did David get the very best? And David was a man after God's own heart. So don't let sin talk you into thinking you can do this and there'll be no scars. Because, folks, there'll be scars. It's called the testimony. And some scars carry shame. Not from you, from others. They just do. That doesn't mean that we have to carry it, but others will try to put that shame on you. Do you understand what I'm saying? And some of the things we did are shameful. Does everybody understand that? But that doesn't put us in a place of condemnation. Does everybody understand that? Okay. So I just want to make sure we're on the same. There's two different type of things here. Now, look at the next thing it says here. I want you to go down, and it says about Abraham. Let's go down to Isaac. Isaac copied his dad, did he not? Isaac copied his dad. Did the same thing, wasn't? Didn't tell the truth. And then we can even take a look at Jacob. Jacob was a heel catcher. He was not a good guy. He was a deceiver, was he not? And he had to work 7 extra years, did he not? So did he reap what he sown? Yeah. He didn't get his best, did he? He ended up with Leah, and they had Leah and Rebecca, and what did they have? They had a baby fest going on. Remember that? All that stuff. Crazy. And one of them even had an idol and took it into her tent. Told her dad a lie that she was on her period so he wouldn't find the idol. Right. And remember Jake said, if you find him, you could have him, you could kill him. And he was got Rachel killed, the one he worked extra 7 years. He really loved her and not Leah. Do you see what I'm talking about? But there's hope. He used Jacob. And it says, look at Jacob, verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. And he worshipped, leaning on top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave them instructions concerning his bones. We're not supposed to be tied up to this world. We don't want to hang on to this world. We want to be looking to God. The things of this world lightly use, and they're here to be a blessing. They're here to bless us and to be a blessing. But sometimes we get covetous and we hang on to things that can get ourselves in trouble. And God doesn't want that because it's not the best that God has for you. And he wants to give you the best. And very few people walk in the best of God. But you can. Look at Moses. Moses was a good guy. Moses killed a man. Remember that? Then he went in the wilderness and he joined himself up to Gentiles. The Midians. Took a wife. 40 years later. And then came back. Right? And he got angry. Right? But then he was called the meekest man on the earth. You see how things change? Why? Because faith is a process. You're not instantly perfect, meaning mature. No one comes out instantly perfect. Even as perfect as God is, there's seed time and harvest that the seed has to grow to become a tree. It doesn't instantly become perfect when you put it into the ground. But somehow we think when we get saved, we just become perfect automatically. And we think when we make a mistake in sin, God's done with us. He's not. He's only done with you when you decide to be done with.
And so don't let your sin or your past dictate your future. Now look what happened here with Moses. Moses then goes on and he becomes one of the greatest deliverers, right? By faith, look at 28. By faith he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood, lest he should be destroyed, the firstborn should touch them. By faith he passed through the Red Sea by dry land where the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. Lots of miracles came because of through Moses' ministry, through Moses' life. Same thing can happen to us. Look at the next one. How about the walls of Jericho fell down, and now we're going to get another woman. We had another woman in the beginning with Sarah, and she laughed. Now we got Rahab, who's a prostitute. Now this gal's all over Jericho. She's a prostitute. She's selling her body for money. And it says here, by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies.
Experienced him in that part of his character, or his fame, or his reputation. Some people know him as Savior, but they don't know him as healer. Some people know him as
great-grandfather.
Right.
Huh? Jesse. Right?
Right.
And she's in the lineage of Jesus. She's a Gentile. Meaning we're Gentiles, we're part of the body of Christ. The Jews will be saved. Now, so there's a lady that was sleeping around, charging money, and doing God's work, and lying on top of it. Lying! Where's those men? I don't know nothing about those men. Liar. Yeah. She knew about those men. She hid them in the thatched roof.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Well, would you say the truth? So they're not here no more. I wouldn't say I didn't see them. She was hiding them. Sometimes we give too much information. We don't need to give a lot of information. Anybody ever been there besides me? I said, why did I say all that? All I had to say was this.
Yeah.
And I would have been fine. No sin. Okay, now. I like the next part that he uses here. And what more shall I say, verse 32, for time would fail me to tell you of Gideon. Gideon was insecure. Gideon was asking for fleeces. Am I in the right spot? God, show me. I'm the weakest one. Oh, God, they're going to get us. Oh, God, oh, no. He had all these men, and then God says, get down to 300 men. But Gideon was a mighty man of valor. While he was shaking, his knees were having fellowship with one another down there in that wine press. Ah! Fear like you can't believe, insecurity like you can't believe, and God calls him a mighty man of valor. And he calls us a holy nation, a royal priesthood. He calls us the sons of the King. He calls us children of God, not by men nor the decision of man, but by God. God sees the end from the beginning. He's not nervous. Now look at the next thing, Barak. And I'm not talking about Obama. Barak let Deborah take the lead because he didn't believe God. And Deborah said, this battle and this victory will not be credited to you because you did not listen to God. And a woman took your spot. He still went on to do great things. He still was a great warrior and delivered the people of Israel. But he never got credit because he did not trust God. He trusted more in a woman than he did God.
Yeah.
Truth!
Yeah.
And sometimes we put more trust in people than we do God, and people are fallible. And we need not to put our trust in people more than God. But if they are living for God, we can trust them in their walk with us. Does everybody understand that? Can I tell you something? There's some people that call when you're in the ministry, and they think that you have a direct line to God. And can I tell you something? Sometimes preachers are the most backslidden people you've ever seen. I'm telling you straight up. They know more about their golf game and the way the golf course is than they do around the Bible. I'm just telling you some of them are. I know some of them. So when we start calling pastors and our certain holier-than-thou people to try to get God, we're putting more trust in them than we are God. You can talk to God. Prayer is just talking to God. Hey, God! I say some messed up things. I threw the F-bomb. It ain't right. Help me, Jesus. God hears that prayer.
Yes, he does.
But to call up somebody and say, would you pray for me, Joe? You know what? I'm doing this. Would you pray for me? when you believe Joe can get God quicker than you. Jesus hooks right up to us. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. And he hears us. Now, there is a time where you do need help with your faith to where you join in agreement. That's different. But can I tell you something? If you're calling someone all the time, can I tell you something? Stop that. I'm just trying to help you as a pastor. I'm trying to pastor you in a nice way. Pastor David loves me to do this. Trust me. You need a little spanking today. Quit calling the same old people to pray with you. Stop that, and you pray. Watch God answer your prayer, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And God says, if you call me, I'll listen. You ask in my name, I'll do it. He'll do it. It's easy. But here's the problem. We look at time lapse as God didn't answer our prayer. Sometimes it takes time for God to make things happen. So don't get nervous. He's not nervous. Just relax. Now, look at the next person he says here. He says, is this okay? Are you guys all right? Okay, I just want to make sure. I was told one time, if you go longer than what the bottom can hold, it won't work. Because if you're getting tired, you get tired. All right, here you go. Never mind. All right. Let's talk about Samson. There's a guy. How about Samson? Samson had some problems with women. He didn't even go to Jewish women. Okay? And he had a problem with lying. If you just do this with my hair. No, do this with my hair. No, do this with my hair. No, do this with that. Seven times sleeping with this gal, and she wanted to kill him. She wanted to kill him, and that goofball, still, he was blinded by lust. He stayed with that crazy woman, Delilah. And then he got his eyes poked out, and they put him grain going against the grain down below in the granary. He went the opposite way to go ahead and knock all the grain down. He was blinded. But at the end, it says he killed more people at the end of his life than he did when he had his sight, because he got between those pillars. And what happened? His hair started to grow back. He started to what? Repent. And he started to get in God's favor. And it took God time to get him in that situation. And then guess what happened? The glory of God fell. Bang! But he was killed in the midst of that. And that may be some of us. The end of our life may be greater than the beginning, but thank God we finish. He finished. He finished. He finished his race. Did he run it perfect? No! But he finished. He completed it. And God said, it's recorded, he killed more people at the end of his life than he did the whole time. And he was a judge of Israel. Now look at the next thing it says here. Jephthah. Now look at Samson. Then there's Jephthah in this thing. And you got, man, there's so many different people that are involved in all the things that are going on. These people were not straight up A students for God. Okay? Now, look at this. Let me show you something else here. Let's go right into David. See, David was a mighty man of God, but he committed adultery. He murdered, right? And he set somebody up for execution. The guy, Uriah, he was a great guy. He loved God. And he set him up, had him killed. And then he pronounced judgment when Nathan came. Do you remember that? And he said, this guy will pay with 4 Eve lambs. Do you remember that? And guess what? David did play with 4 Eve lambs. Absalom, Ammon, Tamar, and the baby that him and Bathsheba had. The beginning, all 4 died. And the sword never left their family. Never left. So there are things that are done here that just don't end. Samuel. What did Samuel do? Samuel was a great prophet. Samuel was a great prophet, but the only reason why Samuel got in the ministry is because Eli's sons were wicked. And let me tell you something. Samuel's sons were wicked. Samuel could prophesy and judge people, but Samuel couldn't control his own family. So maybe your family isn't the best. Maybe your kids don't act the best. That doesn't negate what God can do at the end of your life with you. Do you understand that? So these are all things God wants us to see to give us hope. To give us hope. And look at, and through faith subdued kingdoms, works righteousness, obtain promises, stop the mouths of lions, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. Listen to me. Did they have weaknesses? Did they not? All those people have weaknesses. They were made strong. So don't give up. I'm not giving you an excuse to sin. I'm telling you, stop sinning. And don't let your past dictate you, and don't let the devil tell you, well, you were something before, but now you sin, and you're not going to be any good anymore. No, no, no. Took their weaknesses and made them strong. Took their weaknesses and made them strong. And we look at it again. Took their weaknesses. S. Did you notice most of the guys there, most of the ladies there, didn't have just one sin? Did you notice that? Yes, out of the mouth of babes. So we have weaknesses. He will make them strong. Listen, that gives you hope. He's the God of hope. He wants you to see tonight that you're valuable. Quit beating yourself up. Quit saying, well, back in when I first got saved. Hey, guys, when we all first got saved, we wish we could go back and change things. We can't. Don't try to do it. Some of us are thinking, if I could just make this up, God's going to love me more. No, God says, hey, as soon as you confess it, your sins as far from the east as the west, they cannot meet. They're in the sea of forgetfulness. I have forgot it. You forget it. Let's move on. But if you have a repercussion, you have a repercussion. Turn it into a testimony so you can share it with somebody else. Hey, I don't do drugs anymore. I'll tell you why. Because it took me farther than I want to go. It cost me a lot of money. I lost my teeth, lost my hair, lost my eyes, lost my wife, lost my kids. Thank God I got them all back, but I got false teeth now. I got no hair now, and I got fake eyes. That's what happened to me. And I got my wife back with 10 years later. I can't make up those 10 years we missed. But God has made us stronger. And now we have a testimony to share with others so they don't get divorced, so they don't get messed up, and they don't get into drugs, and they don't get into drinking, they don't get into sleeping around, so we can help them to be strong and make it farther than we went. Amen. Right? Yeah. That's why we're here. Go to, let's end, we're going to end on this, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. How are you? Are you doing good? You sure are cute. He'll take your weaknesses and what? What's he do?
Make you strong.
Yeah. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. God wants to use you more than you want to be used. God sees you in Christ. You don't have to worry about holding on to the end. You hold on to Him. He's the author and finisher of your faith. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. Quit looking at all these circumstances. He's going to take care of it. I don't care if your car blew up, she hit this or did that or this. God's going to take care of it. It may not happen tomorrow, but He'll take care of it. Thank God she has a car she can drive right now. Right? But it's all going to work out. We just have to take our time. Now, look at verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in all Acacia. Grace to you. That means God's ability on your inability. God's ability on your inability. God's ability to do what you can't do on you. That's what he's saying.
Right.
Okay? And peace. That means there's no trouble between us. Peace. There's peace. The absence of striving, the absence of arguing. From God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. You're in fellowship. Now look what he says. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father who beats people when they sin. Is that what it says? The Father who brings up all our bad that we've done in the past. Wait, it says, the Father who makes us sick and causes us to remember pain. No, it says the Father of mercies who takes our weaknesses and makes us not stronger, strong. You notice it doesn't say strong, meaning more strength. It says takes your weaknesses and makes you strong. Now, here's what he says here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He wants to comfort you tonight. He wants to say, it's okay. We're going to move on. I've got great plans for you. Look at the wall of faith and look at the hope there is for you. Look at the hope that I'm the greater one. These people messed up just like you messed up. You should thank God that we're not in the Bible. Huh? God doesn't negate the wrongs. Does everybody understand that? He doesn't just look over, oh, wait, no, they sinned. They're okay with me. They can do that little sin. No.
No, it's never
But that's what we hear now. That God's okay. God knows you're just working this out. No. God don't want you to work it out. You don't have the strength to work it out, or Jesus wouldn't have died on the old rugged cross. If you could work it out. Now look at this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 3. The Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who have any trouble. You got friends with trouble? He puts you there for a reason, to comfort them, because you came out of it. Look it, with the comfort which we ourselves were comforted by God. God comforted us so we can comfort other people. But you know what we want to do? We want to run from those people. Now listen to me. If you're not delivered from the sin that they're in, yes, run. Does everybody understand that? Yes, run. But if you've been delivered and you're in that situation, God wants you to comfort them and help them. Look at this now. The next verse. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation abounds through Christ. Christ will get us through, no matter what suffering we're going through. Jesus suffered, but listen to me, He made it. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings for which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also we'll partake of the consolation. In other words, you're going to come out and be stronger than what you went when you came in it. He's going to work through that suffering to perfect a cure and effect so you can come out and be the answer to someone's sorrow. So what are you saying? When suffering comes, listen to me. You can't speak to suffering. I don't care how much you say, suffering go in the name of Jesus. Suffering go in the name of Jesus. Man, I wish I could say that, but it's never happened like that. I say, God, through this suffering, I did this myself. I sinned and messed up this relationship. Please give me the wisdom so I can go back and mend this. But right now, Lord, I'm suffering through this thing. And the Lord says, okay, do this, this, and this, but they may not forgive you. But I do that, and even though I come out of it, I'm whole. And then when I'm with somebody, the Lord says, now comfort those with the comfort that you got from me. And I say, look, you may go back and you may have to tell them you're sorry, but they may not forgive you. But that's okay, because God forgives you. And just bless them and move on. That's all you can do. So listen, this isn't just, chapter 11 just isn't the faith chapter. Because I don't know about you, I don't want to use my faith for a song in two. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want to go, okay, God, I'm going to believe you for a song in two in Jesus' name. You hear that? Do you know how it says some of them by faith, they were song in two? Remember that? Some of them lost their lives. Remember that? They were killed. I'm not using my faith to go, Lord, just kill me today, Lord, in Jesus' name. But he's trying to show you that your faith can get you killed. Your faith can get you in a place where you lose your life.
It's happening to people every day.
Every day. You bet. Does anybody remember Combine?
Yeah.
High school. Walked in and said, which one of you are Christians? The little girl said, I am. The guy went, bang, killed her.
Yep. Killed everyone.
Right? But you know what? She wrote a letter saying that she knows no matter what happens to her, she's always going to be in heaven with God. She already had that in her heart. Now, I'm not saying for you to go out and try to kill yourself. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying this is that that is about faith, but it's as much that chapter 11 is as much about hope, a confident expectation that all those people in there were not perfect people, and God can use us. Does anybody remember Jephthah? Vaguely? Jephthah. Do you remember Jephthah? In the Old Testament? Look at Jephthah. Who's got the thing there? Jephthah. Where does it show you? Look in your thing. Where does it tell you to go? In what part of the Bible? Is it in your concordance? Jephthah? Samson and Jephthah, also David. These were all judges. But anyways, what I want to share with you is this. These are all people God used. The prophet, the priest, and the king with the anointing of the Holy Spirit on them. And God still used them. God hasn't taken His Holy Spirit away from you. How do you know? You wouldn't be here tonight. You didn't commit the unpardonable sin, or you would not be here. God loves you. Now, don't live in sin. Don't sin. You have a choice. But can I tell you something? If you do have a problem, and I'm so glad, look at how God worked this whole thing out. If you notice, go ahead and close your Bibles. If you notice, people started confessing their sin tonight. A word came. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways and make your path straight. And then God leads us through all these people who have committed sin, and God's used them in a great way. We are clean tonight from having this thing when people were sharing about their weaknesses. Weaknesses, listen to me, if you never share your weakness, how are you going to become strong? See, that's another thing that the word of faith has not done a justice to. There's a power of confession. Paul says, I will boast in my weaknesses so that I may become strong. Boast in them. Why? That Jesus is better than my weaknesses. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what I'm trying to say is this. If you know you're weak in some areas, if you know you're insecure, you know you're like Gideon. You're insecure. You're asking the Lord, am I this? Am I that, Lord? Maybe thinking you're out of the will of God. Pray to God. Say, Lord, that's a weakness. Insecurity is not of you. If you have a problem with sexual lust, thinking, maybe you're not having sex, but if you're thinking about it, it's as good as doing it. Then you need to say, God, this is a weakness. Help me in that, and He'll make you strong. Lying, like Abraham, He'll make you strong. All these things, being a conniver, telling half-truths, that's lying. Tell God, He will take those weaknesses and make you strong. But if you never confess your weaknesses, how are you going to become strong? And you can't do it in your own self, because you can only do it for a little bit. And then when it happens, guess what happens? It will come out. What you do in secret will come out in the open, just like David did. He tried to hide it, and guess what happened? It came out in the open. Remember, God said, hey, what you did in secret, I'm going to have people sleeping with your wife and open. And open. Everybody in Israel will see it, the kingdom. And it happened. What I'm saying is this. Let's just take God at His word. He uses infallible people, and I don't know about you, but I'm infallible. And I'm so glad, and I have hope, that He's going to use me. He's going to use you. Right? Let's pray. Father, we come before You. We thank You that our hope is in You. We trust You. We're not looking to our sin. We're looking to the past. We have some weaknesses, and we will confess those weaknesses to You. It says to confess to You, and so we will confess them to You. And I know by faith You're going to make us strong in those weaknesses. Lord, thank You for visiting us tonight. Thank You for bringing truth to us tonight. We love You. We give You all the praise and glory. Let us have great sleep. You said Your beloved could lay down and their sleep would be sweet. And so we thank You for that. You've not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And that, Lord, the steps of a righteous man or woman are ordered of the Lord. You delight in the steps that they take. Direct our steps by Your word. Let no iniquity have dominion over us. Lord, test and approve our heart. See if there's any wicked way in us, and lead us in the road of eternal life. We want to know You. We want to get rid of the facade. We want the covers pulled off. We want a heart dealt with. A clean heart and pure hands. That's who's going to see the Lord. We want holiness. Not holiness by a dress code, but holiness in our hearts towards You. We're Your people, and we're called by Your name. Therefore, we need you to move in our lives and to change us and use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week. See you Sunday.
See you.